Welcome to the Breeze Podcast, where your word of mouth is our oxygen. My name is Victor White, and I'm here with my bro.
I'm the boy John McCollin here in Toronto. What's good, fam?
And well, John, it's been a revelating sort of week this past week. I have a lot. There's going to be some nuggets in this podcast. I feel like there's going to be some nuggets in this podcast, bro.
I'm excited.
But what I can say for everyone watching, I think that I'm not alone in saying that John's t-shirt it's nice. It looks good. The yellow on you.
Oh, appreciate it, bro. I got to represent the Lakers. You can't see it. Hey.
True. So by the way, John, we're not in Barbados, and our boy Drake is in Barbados. What do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel no ways, bro. Like, it's Drake. Like, at this point, it's just Drake, you know what I mean? Like, but everyone's freaking out. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's down by folks and playing basketball.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, if I was there, I wish I got a chance to be in the studio, like, last night. So I'm like, take a pic, because, like, in the studio. That would be cool, but it's just Drake, man. Like,
yeah, what studio do you think he's at?
Yo, it looked like a bedroom or something. Like, it's a hotel room. You know what I mean?
Okay. Uh-huh. Like, they set up a studio.
Yeah, because he came with his plane. Like, he doesn't have, like, he has a whole team. Yeah. Like, he has his own engineers and stuff. So, like, yeah, I think he just brought everything and just set up in, like, the hotel, you know? But
yeah. Wow, hard. Like, okay, so I'm wondering a couple of things. The first thing that I want to sort out, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast before we roll the intro, we're in the habit of giving long intros here. Like, Drake did not buy that plane. That's a sponsored plane that he got from Air Cargo Canada.
He didn't buy it. Like, that's just a strategic partnership.
He maybe probably didn't even pay for the paint job.
I don't think he paid for anything on that plane, bro. Honestly, it's just like,
he's probably paying for the fuel when he flies.
That's probably it. But Drake is like one of the biggest superstars. Yeah. Like, it made sense at the time. Like, there's no way, no one's going to buy a 747, bro. Like, you're not going to buy a Boeing. Like,
well, there's a lot of people that do buy them, but
Drake's net worth, there's no way he's going to afford a 747 for himself.
No, he could never afford it. But that's the thing that it doesn't piss me off, but it's like, when he posted that plane video, it was like he bought the plane. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, he never said he bought it, though. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, he
but
did.
But he just never, put it up for... Or what's the term? Put out for interpretation.
Yeah.
People just round with like, oh my gosh, she bought the plane. But like,
but
I guess that's the beauty of marketing, you know. Like,
That is true. Yeah, that is true. It's up for interpretation. But I just feel like, because when I read that, it's like, the only thing that I fear, or not that I fear, but I mean, just in terms of like, so I'm a plane geek. Right. And that's my passion, like private jets and watches. Those are my two materialistic things that I care about. But the thing is, like, in terms of cost of running a plane, and for like young kids that want to be successful and think that they can be a rapper and afford a 747. Do you get what I mean? Like,
guys,
kind of skews.
This is kind of what's happening. Like, this is my analysis of what happens.
Yeah.
This guy partner with this company, this cargo company, right? Companies fly every single day, right?
Yeah.
So the livery on the plane, so a livery is like the paint job on a plane.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just that never changes. That's just Drake's, like, if you're reading this, it's too late, Air Drake. That'll be on the plane. I was like, marketing, branding on that front. But like, in terms of the cargo, like, you're flying, they make money every day that's flying back and forth. Like, if Drake wants to use it, he'll probably just like, and what most likely they do is just switch the insides out for that period of time, because it's so easy to do it.
Oh, so you think they're using a double purpose?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%, bro.
You think so? So 100%. That the cargo company gets to use the plane?
100%. 100%.
Oh, wow.
I feel like they just switch the insides out, because I know how easy it is to do that. Like, when I used to work at Air Canada,
it's all on rails and stuff.
Yeah, fuck. So I'm pretty sure they're using it. That makes the most sense in terms of, like the economy of the plane. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. Like, this guy been in Toronto like all this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but let's roll the intro before we keep going. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about, so actually, you know what, I'm not gonna talk about it, but I'm wondering, like, what is it, because Barbados is corona free that Drake came to Barbados, or is it because of a certain someone
Barbados? Man. Like, we can speculate for days, you know, but like,
yeah, that is true.
There's good press for Barbados, no good friend.
That is true. So big ups, Drake, for blessing off the island and getting the tourists started.
Think about like the timeline of the rollouts of the information. So you had like me and Molly saying, yo, come through, you live here for a year. And, like, we're doing remote work from Barbados. All right, boom. Then Drake comes through. Boom. All right. Now it's like, oh, Drake's in Barbados. Maybe I could go and try to, what if he got paid to come through? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we can speculate for days.
So Rihanna, she got the Excellence Honor, whatever, ambassador, some flashy title. Maybe she told Drake, like, yo, pop over. It's some good PR.
Wait, is Rihanna even in Barbados? Do we know that?
I don't think so.
Who knows why? Like, we could speculate for days. Like,
yeah.
But shout out to Drake. Shout out to Drake for a blessing that coming through.
Yeah.
Even though we're not there.
Yeah. So, John, please tell me about your week.
Yo, my week's been pretty interesting. I'm not gonna lie. Like.
Okay.
I'm working on this top secret project. Can't talk about it on the podcast. Okay. Top secret project. So I've been like trying to teach myself how to do UI UX design, like on the mobile front.
Okay.
I did some crazy stuff. Like some, I'll show you after. Like I'm doing some stuff like crazy, top secret, crazy stuff. So that's what
most of my week. Music? Does it have to do with music?
It has to do with music. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But you know, the
Chattel
right
house,
yo, we're out here. So like, yeah, I mean, like writing songs every day is still a thing. But I was had to start learning this is because a lot of stuff, you know what I mean, start popping off. Yeah. And yeah, I went to IKEA for the first time this weekend. Uh-huh. Built something.
Yeah,
built like a desk.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, I've only been to IKEA on the website, bro. Like, like this is my first time actually going in the store. Yeah. I didn't realize how great it was. I was like, and everything's in Swedish. So shout out to Sweden. Shout out to you.
Swedish but, names and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Even on the inside, they're like I don't know. Like
Hedvig.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that was my week. I just really was like on the desk, just like doing like coding and like writing songs. That was it, bro.
Yeah.
You know me.
Uh-huh.
What about you?
So John, have you ever felt the weight of life on your shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you know about Buddhism?
Not much.
But yeah, so Buddha said that life is suffering. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever felt the when I talk about the weight, the suffering from being alive, that is more of a burden than a pleasure? Have you ever felt that?
I can't say that. I can't say I have.
Because I have felt it. And that's partly because of who I am and my path that I'm choosing to follow, right?
Mm.
So with me getting into Stockholm School of Economics and stuff, a lot of things are now realizing like that I put out into the universe. But the reason why I brought up the weight of life is because like, isn't it weird how we live for this short period of time? And I personally feel that it's like what Elon Musk says, like with his space program, that's something that gets him excited to be human and excited to be alive.
Yeah.
That same thing excites me. Like I get kind of sick from seeing over what's it called when you use and buy products and just left and right cheap goods, whatever, just using stuff, right? I don't like that at all. Like I personally speaking, I'm on a journey towards less. Like I'm not going to become a minimalist, but I'm going to, like, my wardrobe is going to have selected pieces of clothing that I feel comfortable in and that I'll use, that I've, you know, and not like
everything, you know, just cuz.
Yeah. And by the way, have you heard of Nudie Jeans? So it's a Swedish jeans company, and they give you free repairs for the life.
Really?
Lifetime free repairs. And they have this super solid N-U-D-I-E. Like you send a nude, but it's Nudie. N-U-D-I-E. So they're a bit on the more expensive side, but they look super good. And they're for sustainability. They published these 6 sustainability reports. The company was founded by a woman who was the European chief designer for Lee Jeans in Europe, right? But the reason why I've come into this train of thoughts is because the fact that I'm now going to Stockholm School of Economics and that they're actually shaping the leaders of the future, you know? It all kind of realized when I read the SSE educational mission that you get on the email when you get accepted. And you have to sign a student pledge. Did you have to do that for Ivy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not going to spoil everything for people that might get in the future, etc. But it was kind of eye-opening when I read this. So it says the Stockholm School of Economics educational mission is based on the view that the decision makers of tomorrow will approach the world with curiosity and confidence. In terms of processing capacity, future decision makers will often be outperformed by artificial intelligence, robots, and machines. However, human beings' core competence is being human, and SSE's learning objectives or educational mission respects this. The decision makers of the future will be those who make use of their human potential. Accordingly, SSE has formulated its educational mission with the abbreviation FREE, which stands for, yeah. So, and then it stands for actually like really decent and amazing things, the abbreviation FREE. So what it stands for is the following. I'm not going to read like they specify. But it's essentially fact and science-based mindset, reflective and self-aware, empathic and culturally literate, entrepreneurial and responsible. So I like, you know, and I read this and I just get more and more hyped, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's just insane.
They're framing you, bro.
Yeah, that this dream is coming true, you know, and I'm like, whoa. No, but that got me thinking, like, because one of the things that I think is like for someone like me, who's, you know, when you work yourself up, and Gary V said this when he was at Brilliant Minds, that talk when we got to have him on the podcast, he said that, like, if you've tasted dirt yourself, you have no interest in letting your kids taste dirt, right? And the thing is, like, if you were in a position of power of some sort, or at a high position in, you know, the corporate life, and you have the responsibility of thousands of jobs, right? That's thousands of people that essentially depend on you and your decision making. So I when that set in, I got kind of a heavy feeling, and it makes sense why these CEOs are paid so much that they are, because like most people, and I witnessed this multiple times, where you complain about your boss and whatever, but when you're in the same position as your boss, you have all this responsibility, and it's a completely different world, because as an employee, you're just an employee, right? Yep. You're just like, you know? And that got me thinking of like, what experiences do I have about this? And especially after reading SSE's educational mission statement, right? And I realized that I have actually been in charge of other people. So my filmer, Albin, and the thing that was interesting to me was the human aspect. So to me, that means, as an example, when Albin came with me to Park City in the US, right? So I pay for everything. It's expensive to bring him, right? And like, and that's, you know, but it costs to have a filmer with you and all that stuff. And the first, and we're going to produce these like the sickest vlogs ever during the World Ski Championships. Like, whoa. And after skiing like a couple of runs, I'm like in the chairlift. I'm like, Amin, let's put down the chairlift, the camera. Like, we're in Park City. Like, let's just ski and enjoy this. Like, it's not every day you're in Park City, Utah skiing. So we put it down. And the first run he takes without the camera, he breaks his collarbone, right?
Yeah.
Do you think I thought of the fact that it was the first day and I spent all this money for him to come along?
Nah.
You know? No, it didn't even cross my mind. Like, what crossed my mind was like taking care of Albin, making sure he was set, and like calling his parents and, you know, sorting out like his insurance stuff, you know, making sure everything is good, right?
Yeah.
So that to me is like the human aspect, right? That instead of, because some people, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they would be like, oh, I paid for you to come and you go and injure yourself, which anyone could do, you know, anyone could injure yourself easily, right? Yeah. But I just think that the human, as like they write in the educational mission statement, I think that the human aspect is really important.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if you're leading any organization, I mean, a lot of organizations that we see today, like, they're not human focused, you know what I mean? They just care about the bottom line, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I mean, that's where you got a lot of startups that come up, and they're like, they focus on teamwork. They have like algorithms that are based on like people working together and stuff like that. But like the reality, sad reality is that like most of these like large Fortune 500 companies, like they don't care. You know what I mean? They just, okay, you're out. All right, switch you out.
Yeah.
You're just like a number to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is sad, but.
Yeah. But that's also why you.
It's also an advantage for like anyone else coming up.
And you got to know what game you're playing, right? You always 100%. Have to know what game you're playing. So it's like with you and starting to work at IBM, you know, it's the same thing there. You know, you're a piece of the pawn. Wherever I go, I'm going to be a piece of
And you also, pawn. Like, I've been preaching from day one, like, from first time I ever got a job, I was like, you can't be loyal to, like, any organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be loyal to yourself. Because, like, any organization could drop you tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know people, like, they go, they work their ass off. They're like, they're just like, they're there 7 o'clock, they leave 7 p.m. And it's like, thinking that this is going to make a difference in, like, their trajectory in life.
Yeah.
But then, like, when shit is a fan, it's like, you're probably the first man to go. You know what I mean? So, you can't be loyal to no organization for real.
Yeah, I think it depends on what organization it is, because to me the value of like you going to work for IBM is the people there. Do you get
correct,
what I mean?
Correct.
So you want to be loyal to the people more so than the organization as a whole.
Yeah.
Because it's probably likely the people that you're going to do deals with in the future.
Yeah, the people are people. You know what I mean? Like, that's all they are. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they are not the company, you know, like the company and the people are too, like, they're separate, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean, in some cases, you gotta be loyal. If you're gonna work at a startup, then like you kind of go just like effing off every single time you just want to do that, because then like you probably the startup probably crumble. But in terms of like these large organizations, be that like they're blessed.
But you also gotta realize like it's leadership's responsibility to make sure that these things are well oiled, right? So if there's bad leadership, like, you know, and but that it'll be well, I'm not sure. Did you have to sign an NDA with IBM?
Nah. Well, probably not yet. I'll probably have to do it the first
day. Is it that's it might be on a client basis, because what I was gonna say is like I'm so, you know, I'm horny for Chamath Palihapitiya, right? Our boy. But he really dislikes IBM. He thinks that people have run down IBM hard. And that's why I'm hyped for you going there to get the inside look, you know?
We have the inside look. I know the people. Like,
yeah.
That's all I'm trying to get, bro. You know what
Yes. But the thing is, obviously, like, we're not stupid. Like, we're not going to talk bad about your employer, you know?
True that.
But it's just, I just think it's healthy to have opposing views and like entertain them and have a discussion around them that we so often have on this podcast.
100%. We've been doing this. Yeah. We've been doing this, you know?
Yeah.
What do you hear, man?
You know, Stockholm School of Economics, they like retweeted.
Oh, I saw that.
Before we get into shop stuff, I just want to say that's another dream that's come true. Like,
that's wild.
It precedes me, bro. How insane.
Yeah, that's sick. That's sick.
It'd be like, I don't even dare to think who saw that. Like, you know, all the powerful, majestic people, beautiful, so amazing, true, future true. Employers of mine. Anyhow, should we get into Chopped Up?
Let's get into it, man. What do we have to talk about?
Oh, we have something juicy, bro.
What do you got?
So, what do we have on Quibi?
Oh, yo. Yo, Quibi, bro. Quibi. Have you ever used it?
No.
I have never used it. I haven't had no interest in using it.
What? But okay. No. So for people that don't know, Quibi was this short form, essentially content thing, like in between Netflix and TikTok, essentially, was how it was positioned. And you pay a subscription fee and it's supposed to be like nice short bites. And if I remember correctly, we both were really bearish on Quibi. We're like, who the frick would use it?
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
I don't remember what episode. But
I don't remember, but it's in there somewhere. Just go.
Yeah. If you're OG, you'll know. Anyhow, so in the morning brew comes out, like it's a they raised $1.8 billion for Quibi. And they spent up to $100,000 a minute for their content featuring talents such as Chrissy Teigen, Chance the Rapper, Anna Kendrick. However, it's like the Morning Brew said that they're going to write case studies about at Harvard because it's such a disaster.
It's a disaster, bro, honestly. I mean, like, it's a perfect example of of a company not looking at the market that they're going into, I understand it. You know what I mean?
Do you know what it is?
What?
It's exactly what Gary Vee talks about. It's a perfect example of these people trying to create another financial arbitrage machine that they just pump money into because of all the money in the system.
I feel that. But I mean, like, even if you try to create one of those, like, I mean, you should understand the market you're going into. Like, understand your competitors. Like, there's no reason why, if you have Quibi, you can't cast on your television. You can't, like, there's is they're like, okay, we want to do it on the phone. Let's only have it on the phone, and it's going to be upright. Like, they're so like, and the content is even that good. You can't compete on a Netflix level where Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix is basically the culture when it comes to like dropping shows. You know what I mean? Like, Lion, like they talked about it in the article. Talked about like the Lion, the not Lion King, Tiger King, and like when Netflix drops a show, bro, it's like they're memes for days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
Quibi coming in here trying to acquire customers, especially in COVID times where you can't shoot new content. Where Netflix has a whole bot list of content, a backlog of content where they can just keep dropping and dropping. Uh-huh. These guys investing heavily in content that is not...
No, but it's stupid. Let's just say it right out, John. It's a stupid idea.
Yeah, well, we said this.
Why would you want to watch like 1 minute or 5 minutes content?
Yo,
like
we said this, shows. Bro. We like said
you,
this.
You don't build an emotional bond.
We said, there's no plot. The show, there's no plot.
There's like nothing there. And that's why it's just an example of like too much money in the system, someone trying to build another financial arbitrage machine.
Yeah, like, we said this.
You get what I mean?
I feel you. I mean, we were early on this.
We were super early in being bearish.
I mean, it's not rocket science, bro. Like, when you look at
it's
not like, okay, I'm not going to buy that.
But that's also the thing. Like, these VCs and stuff that fund these things are so detached from reality that it's insane. Correct. And, bro, I hope that I'm never going to be that detached from reality. Like, they live on another planet, honestly, sometimes when they fund these things. Like, $1.8 billion, like $100,000 a minute for the content. Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Like, that's like, oof.
That made no sense to me, bro. That's just like...
Cancel. Boom.
That made no sense.
So I listened.
But I'm glad that we were early. That we were early on that.
Uh huh.
We didn't invest in it. Thank God.
Yeah. Jesus, holy.
Right.
But anyhow, John. I don't know. So I listened to the one of the founders of Klarna. It's a Swedish fintech.
Okay.
Startup. John, by the way, I was a bit confounded when I listened to his, because every summer this Swedish radio show, they have people that talk and like inspirational, well-established Swedish people, right? And but the thing is, what's a unicorn for you, John? What's a unicorn?
That by definition?
Yeah.
That isn't a company that's valued over $1 billion.
Within 3 years, right? No?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was saying that they were a unicorn. And I was like, wait, isn't a unicorn if it's valued $1 billion within 3 years? So I was like, that's weird. So that was one thing that I thought was weird, like claiming that they are. I don't know. I don't have the facts. Maybe they were valued at $1 billion within 3 years. I just know recently they've gotten a lot of hype, Klarna, for what they're doing. Like,
What do they do?
So they take on the risk and they handle e-commerce, essentially. So they have their own checkout, right?
So they're like Stripe in the US.
Yeah. But Stripe is...
Yeah.
Klarna is like tiny compared to Stripe. Isn't Stripe like a $60 billion thing?
They're ridiculously huge.
Yeah. No, but so the interesting thing when I listened to it was that at one point... I don't recommend people to go and listen to it because I did not, I wasn't impressed by what I heard. But the thing that got my attention was when he said, when I became a Swedish crown billionaire, the commercial in my mailbox was changed from like food coupons on local storage to private yachts and stuff like that. And the crazy thing is, like, my commercial on social media now, after I got into Stockholm School of Economics, is like Carnegie Investment Fund, like Avanza Investment. It's so weird, bro. So weird. Like, and diving deeper into that is, like, I've been talking about this with my girlfriend, but guys, you have to be mindful about what you consume, because ads are something that, that gets pushed upon you.
100%.
But from a content standpoint as well, like, you have to be mindful.
That's fine.
Like, we have good intention. Like, our listeners, you guys, you know that we have your best interests at heart. Like, and we want to provide you with entertainment and information and, like, help you in your life, right?
Right.
But some people, like, it's just, like, it might be from an angle of jealousy. It might just, you know?
Yeah, bro, it's weird. I mean, have you ever used Google Takeout?
Is that when you get all your information?
Yeah, to see, like, how they, like, it'll be interesting to see, like, what it was before you got accepted to what it is now. They probably added some more stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably where you're getting. I think it's interesting. Anyone who's, like, interested in understanding what data Google has on you.
Yeah.
Google Takeout, for sure.
I mistakenly downloaded my data from YouTube, and it was like 87 pages or something. Like, it was
hectic. Like, I feel they do that just to like bury you in information so that you don't understand, like, what's happening. You know what I mean? But
I'm 99% sure they use your location data to pair with 100%. Commercials and stuff.
100%. You know, that only makes sense.
Yeah, like that every all sense. All of your data, like, that's why. I've said this before, like, the McAfee guy, he said it, like, if whatever you ever entered on the internet is public information.
It's there. You know? It's there. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be a celebrity. You could be a billionaire. Yeah. Like, if you, like, entered your email address into, like, any field.
Yeah,
it's there.
Passwords, you know what whatever. I mean?
It's over.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I had something more for Shopped Up, but it slipped my mind now.
Something else.
It's my concussions, yeah.
I have something. Revolut, like, I have a question for you with respect to Revolut.
Yeah.
So these guys, like, the waiting list has been, remember we had this whole, I think a couple episodes, a couple months ago, we talked about Revolut getting on the waiting list. Got me on the waiting list.
Yeah.
Got on the waiting list. Now it's like, yo, I was bumped up to the top. After, because I referred some friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Put me up to the top. And then I get into the app, finally.
Yeah.
We're like, and you send me, like, five crowns. Like, what do you call it? Crowns?
Crowns.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to verify my account. So normally, like, if it's like a normal other bank, I just sending my, like, information, like, take a
picture. Yeah, like a picture of your ID card or whatever. Yeah.
They're like, yo, we can't do this because you're not Canadian. I was like, bro.
Oh, you need a Canadian form of ID.
I'm like a citizen of Canada. You know what I mean? I'm not a citizen. I'm like a resident of Canada.
Yeah,
resident. Like, I have, like, all my information. So then I was like, forget this, man. I'm going to just go to Koho. So I go to Koho, which is, like, the direct competitor of Revolut.
They're
a Canadian startup.
Yo,
it's been so easy, bro. I'm not going to lie. It's been seamless.
You just sip.
I just, like, switch. They have, like, a metal card, same way they have.
Nice, that's nice.
Like, 6% cash back on, like, premium. Oh, wow. Which is wild.
6%?
6% on certain things. Wow. But they have, like, the lowest you get is 2%. Like, it's wild.
That's good.
But, yeah, I was fed up with my bank, bro. Like, traditional institutional
TD
bank.
Armitrage. No, what's the name?
TD Bank,
yeah.
I was fed up with them, man. Like, they just charged me for everything. Like, nah, forget this.
No, John, get off that train. John, I know the Bajan in you likes to be comfortable and, like, oh, I trust these legacy.
Yo, I'm off it,
companies.
Bro. I'm off it.
I'm so comfortable, yada, yada, yada. And then you might look a bit skeptical. No, not you, obviously.
Nah. But here's the thing, though. This is how they get you, because, like, even with Revolut, even with this Koho buying, like, everything appears credit, right? You can't build, like, credit if you need, like, you have to be attached to some type of credit system. You know
what
I mean? So if I was just isolate myself to Revolut or Koho, I wouldn't have,
I wouldn't build any credit.
Exactly. Build. So, like,
okay.
So I'm working between the two. I'm not using TD, using Amex.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, going between the two.
Ooh, you're an Amex guy, huh?
Oh, right out here, bro.
Whoa, right here. you truly love to give away money, then.
Actually, it makes sense. Like, it's not like I'm not getting like a diamond card or anything. It's just like it's the least amount, but it's like for travel. Okay. And it's for like the rewards on it is wild.
Okay. Okay.
So,
well,
I'm not out here, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not I get one from work too, so.
Look here. Oh, yeah. I get this good top position at IBM. Oh, I got American Express.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm so fancy. My name is John.
So you're the guy with the block metal card over here. Standing on my hands. Like, just like, it drops.
Oh,
earthquake happens.
I'm so bummed I forgot what I was going to say. But that's life sometimes.
It happens, man. It happens.
That is life sometimes. I think that, John. Johnny bro, boy.
You're off it.
John, okay. John. So, you know how we have this little friendly competition going on, right? I'm not gonna lie, you're in the lead. Like you secured a sick job. Like
I don't know,
you're doing well for yourself. John, come on. Why do you think I went and got a girlfriend?
I feel like we're in two different.
I was kidding.
Scratch
that was a joke.
Yo, sorry for you. After you hang on this call, bro. I'm sorry.
Bro, that's the thing though. Like, how many dentists do you have in your family? Exactly. Exactly. Now you have one, thanks to me. So I'm hooking you up.
Shout out to you.
No, we're super packed. That's what they call it, John. That's what we are.
What? What
do you call it? You and me, we're super packed, John.
What's a super pack?
You know, like, I've heard the term in politics. I'm not exactly sure what it is. We're alliance, you know?
Okay, fair. Like, when I hear super pot, I think, like, that's your fat special. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's super pot.
John, by the way, did you see my season finale? Did you watch it?
I didn't finish it. I watched it.
You didn't stab me in the heart some more.
Nah. I was watching it. I was on the road when I was watching it.
Okay.
And that's when I was doing the IKEA thing, but I started watching it. I didn't finish it.
Okay.
Okay. But I didn't watch it on YouTube either. I was watching it on Instagram.
Okay. Okay.
That's why.
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, John, did you see the part with Alicia Keys and Swiss Beats?
Yeah.
Did you see the part where it's mine and Alicia Keys's, you know, conversation over Swiss Beats head?
Yeah, I love how like you had the voiceover, and it sounded like a CNN broadcast or something. I was like, this guy.
And then like I put so many Easter eggs in that video, but like I'm not gonna spoil anything. But there's Easter eggs my video.
It was I saw it was sick. I'm a good friend.
Yeah. Anyhow, guys, we have to round up. We need to make sure we need to get the cricket guy on here.
Fox. They had a game last week and this week, and they just won.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, bro. So
let's
try
to get it for next week. Do they have games next week?
I don't know. We gotta check. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me check. Quick thing.
Yeah, let's see John. John, do you think we should do an interview with him and like a 30-minute thing and then do a regular podcasting and then put that in there?
I mean, we could have like as a segment. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or we do our regular vibe and involve him in it.
Or we could do that.
Like, listeners, whatever, you guys comment down below and let us know.
That's true.
Anyhow.
I think they have games next week too, bro.
Okay, so let's shoot for the week after
that. And they have a game the following week.
Okay, but let's shoot
After that, I think they're free for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time I spoke to him, he was in London.
Yeah, they're playing, England right now.
Yeah. So, thank you for
listening. We appreciate you guys.
And watching.
We're out here. Oh, you guys are watching on the YouTube. Like, we appreciate you. Like, you mm-hmm. know that. We appreciate yeah. you. We're on, we're live, we're here. Yeah,
exactly.
Every week. Yeah. At your head talks, you know?
Uh-huh.
Let's get it.
Okay. And remember to subscribe and on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. True. And follow us on Instagram. Just go, yeah, everything.
Everything.
Just stay in the loop, because now you're going to get a lot of value. Like, if you want to be financially set for life, this is when you tune in.
Oh, yeah, this is where you got to be.
I suspect, like, obviously, we're obviously, like, sharing our portfolios, like, transparently. Like, that's a code of ethics, obviously. But it'll kind of work, like... We call it market making, right, John?
It's true. It's true.
When we drive up the stock and then sell it, then we make shit tons of money. So you got to be along for the ride on that, too.
Yo, Fox. We'll show you guys next week.
Bye.
Later.